Hallelujah. Smile. Smile. I want every sinner here to know that we got something to smile about tonight. Friend, I have. Man, this man here talking about, I know I wasn't an alcoholic, but I was honoring the other directions. I used to pick nightclubs, buddy, smoke-filled bars, and I've done my share of drinking, too. But I'll tell you what, when God gets a hold of you, he gives you something much more important than all that old conglomerated garbage that you think you got to have when you're out there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And out of all of my getting drunk in the spirit, I never wake up with a hangover. I just wake up and want to get over in it again and get a little more. Hallelujah. I don't have to go and drink a glass of milk or whatever it was. I forgot, it's been so long now, trying to get sober. But, buddy, we can just crawl out of there and go to praising God again. And, man, the power of God comes down and says, look at this thing. I enjoy my salvation. I'll tell you, this is magnificent. I have a dear old 84-year-old woman that was in my church that had to walk with a walker. And you could walk up and shake her hand. I'd say, how you doing, Sister Dicey? She said, fantastic. She'd never say, oh, not too good. Every time she'd answer me, fantastic. And she'd grin and go right on, brother, praising God. So if we've got the Holy Ghost tonight, baptized in Jesus' name, we're doing fantastic. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bibles to John, the 5th chapter. Starting at the first verse. Hallelujah. John, the 5th chapter, starting at the first verse. We're going to read a couple of scriptures. Why don't you stand for the reading of the Word tonight? Hallelujah. John, St. John, the 5th chapter, starting at the first verse. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, and waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season unto the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity, 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the important man answered, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Reach up, put your hand on the shoulder of the one next to you. Let's have a combined prayer tonight. Hallelujah. Everybody praying together. Lord, we love you tonight. We appreciate you. I ask you to bless this congregation, bless the Spirit, pour out your presence, Lord. Anoint us this way with the Word, that we can preach the gospel as you have it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Wave your hand. Hey, hallelujah. Say, praise the Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to preach a little bit about a transforming God. I know now why. I studied on a subject all day, and the Lord didn't let me preach it tonight. So y'all look out. I'll study it again tomorrow. Maybe I can preach it tomorrow night. Now I know why I had to preach this one tonight. Hallelujah. Preaching about a transforming God. Not just a changing, not just makes it changing, but he transforms you. Hallelujah. And I was thinking about this little trip down around this place where this man was sick at the pool of Bethesda. I don't know if you just drawed in your mind, but us preachers, we have a imagination anyway. And I get to imagining those places when I read about them in the Bible. And I get to look in my mind, spiritual eye, I guess you'd call it. And I get to look at all them blind people. and all them crippled folks and all of those diseased or whatever they might have, and here they lay. None of them can hardly get around. They're laying there, and I don't know how many, but they were everywhere. There's five porches, and they were loaded with people trying to get in that water. But it was only one person that got in there that got healed. It was the first one that got there when the water was troubled. This man had had a disease 38 years. 38. Now, I don't know if he had been there 38 years or not, but let's just say that he had. Because I know a lot of people that's been diseased here with sin, brother, that needed to get into some troubled waters. But there he was, and you can think of all the disappointments that he had seen. Now, one thing about the Lord, when he comes in the midst of things, things got to change. Things got to change. Let me mention this before. One time when the Lord went in the synagogue, there was a man in there possessed of an evil spirit. You remember that? Synagogue, we'll say, change it and call it he went to church. Now, the Lord doesn't like evil spirits in the church. And when the Lord comes in and he begins to rebuke the devil, brother, the devil's got to go. The devil has got to go. When he went in that synagogue, man, he began to pray, and the devil came out after he tore on the old boy and done his best to hang on to him. He had to get on out. Friend, when we have things in churches and God is wanting to move, the devil's got to be moved first. The devil's got to be moved first. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Hallelujah. So when we're praying and seeking God, it has to be a heart that's emptied of the things of the world. It has to be a heart that has prayed and said, God, I'm sorry, forgive me of these things, repented of them, got them out of there. Then when you pray, you've got something that you can tell God without being blocked by some ungodly deed or effort or thought or whatever that might be in you. But when the Lord spoke, the devil had to go. What we got to do with you didn't make any difference what it had to do with him. It had nothing to do with him. Lord didn't want nothing to do with him. Out he went. Brother, when God comes in, the devil's got to go. If you want the God to come in and do a job, the devil's got to get out. Oh, he's going to always be hanging around the door. One thing about the devil, he comes to church every night, gets in your automobile every night, goes everywhere he can, does everything he can, ornery, never takes a vacation, never takes a rest, constantly about his business, doing his best to cause you to lose out and go to hell. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. Brother, he'll dance on your grave and sit on your coffin and laugh to think he's destroyed you and caused you to be lost. Devil don't like you. The world don't like you. All they do is try to trick you and pull you into their snares and get you down to their level. But folks, I want you to know, when God walks into the midst of things, the devil's got to go. So the Lord came into the midst of all these crippled folks. When he walked in there, he looked around, he seen this man. Well, he said, would you like to get healed? Would you be made whole? Well, all that man knew, he didn't even know who Jesus was. And all he knew was the fact that every time he tried to make it to that water, when the water troubled, he was just not able to get there in time. And how many people had he seen walked out of there? How many people had laid right beside of him that made it in the water? How many times had he seen somebody that maybe had been there with him 4 or 5 years and they had made it to the water and walked out and said, hey man, hope you have better luck next year. And go on and move on. And went on out, and there he laid. Oh, constantly. Wanted to get into that water. That was his only means of healing, he thought. He didn't realize he was talking to the one that sent the angel down to trouble the water. He didn't realize the one that done all the job was standing right there talking to him. He said, will thou be made whole? He said, Lord, I don't have anybody to help me in the water. Man, he got through talking to them. All Jesus said was, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Hallelujah. He didn't have to have nobody get him by the hand. Brother, when God spoke the word, he was the one that sent the angel to trouble the water. He had the power to speak it. And when he walked in the midst of it all, 38 years of disease just disappeared at the snap of your finger. And the man was made whole and reached down and picked up his bed and went out of there with shouts of victory. And the funny thing, when they asked him how he done it, he didn't know who healed him.
You know that? He didn't even know who done it. He later on found it out. I can't imagine being sick 38 years and not finding out who healed me. But the only thing those scribes and Pharisees could think about was, this man is carrying a bed on the Sabbath day. That's all they can think about. They didn't think about 38 years of disease was gone. They didn't think about the cripple was now a whole man. They wasn't thinking about all the things he could do now. He could make his own living. He didn't have to be carried about. Didn't have to be fed. He didn't have to beg. Didn't have to do all these things that he'd been doing all these years. They didn't think about that. All they thought about was he's carrying his bed on Sunday. That's all they think about. Carrying his bed on Sunday. Brother, let me tell you something. There's a lot of people hanging around the pool of Bethesda that needs to realize they better quit waiting for the troubled water and accept the one that's walking in the midst of them, that's rare, just waiting to do everything that they need done. Deliver them. Set them free. Set us free. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Take us out the honky-tonk. Get rid of the cigarettes. Get rid of all the booze and all the drugs and dope and whatever. And give us something worth living for. I had a street service in Escanaba, Michigan one time. Little old gal there, about 19 years old, that was a regular drug addict, and she had pushed drugs and everything else. God filled her with the Holy Ghost and baptized her in Jesus' name. She stood out there in front of us and handed them tracts out, and then people come by that had seen her stand there and said, what are you doing anyway? They bought pills from her. Man, they bought them yellow jackets or bennies and all that stuff. She said, man, she said, I've got something now that put me on a high that I never come down. She said, I don't have to pop no pills, stick no needle in my arm, nor drink no bottle of booze. She said, I've got something in me that put me on a high that's far more important than anything I ever had in my life. I don't know how many of that little old Gathol Apostolic Church that baptized them in Jesus' name and seen them filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Brother, she got to walking down around the pool of Bethesda, and she got to seeing these impotent folks and these blind folks and these folks could not see the truth nor know what it was all about. And suddenly then, she realized and let them know, and they began to walk, take up their old bed and do away with their ungodliness and walk with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody ever sat around a pool of Bethesda? Thinking about Jesus Christ, one of his first miracles, when he went to a wedding feast. Wasn't time for him doing miracles, but the way it worked out, he did one. Mary told him, said, thou wine. Said, well, what's that got to do with me? My day ain't come yet. Well, she's kind of turned around and serving. She said, do what he tells you to do anyway. Whatever he says, do, you do it. So they brought them stone pots over there. He said, all right, fill them with water. They filled them with water. They filled them all up. He said, now take them in there. They didn't see him wave his wand over it. He didn't make no big to-do. He just said, fill it with water. They filled it with water. But when they took it out, it was choice wine. It wasn't just the everyday Madison Street stuff. It was the choice. Man, the old king said, hey, he said, what's going on here? He said, everybody else always uses the best stuff, and then when everybody gets good and drunk, well, said, then they bring out the best. Man, you got the best of that. Can you imagine? That host didn't even know. He said, what are you talking about? Because he wasn't in there when the Lord done it. The servants was in there. He didn't know where that good wine had come from, but the servants knew it. A lot of people come into church. You may have come in here tonight as nothing but just plain old water. But I want you to know that you can go out of here with the choicest of wine. Hallelujah. You can be a new wine, filled with a new wine, brother, that separates you from the things of the world and lifts you up and puts your feet on solid ground. We don't have to be plain old folks anymore. We can be Holy Ghost filled folks. We can be folks that have been changed, brother. Not just changed, brother, but we have been completely transformed from just an old sinner individual to a righteous Holy Ghost filled person that's on his way to glory land. Transformed, folks. You don't need to live in sin. You don't need to have a mouth filled with filthy language. You don't need to wake up feared in the morning. Because I'm serving a God that can transform you tonight. Transform you now. The same as He did that water into... He can change you. My goodness. One man looked at me and said, "Well, it's hard for me to believe you used to be in nightclubs." Well, it's hard for me to believe too now. But I sure did. I used to pick them old guitars. And, man, I can't even think of them now. But anyway, I used to pick all kinds of the blues. And man, when I was going strong, when old Chuck Berry was going and everything he preached and just got long done, I tried it. Anything anybody else did, I tried it. But one day I just got tired. It didn't satisfy me. No matter what I played, no matter where I played, no matter if it was nightclub, honky-tonks, no matter if it was Nashville, wherever it was, that didn't make any difference. No matter if it was cutting records or whatever, boy, it didn't make any difference. There was something there that was not satisfying. But brother, when I got the Holy Ghost and I began to go home, and I began to cry and weep on my bed. And I always did listen to the gospel music. And up in Chicago, we'd turn on that station, all night station. And it had gospel music. I'd lay there and bawl like a baby. Maybe be half drunk and all that. And I'd just listen to that thing. But bless your heart, one day I said, "Well, I've had enough. I'm quitting this life. I'm going to live for God." And God had mercy on an old backslidden sinner and gave me another opportunity to be filled with the Holy Ghost to the brim, baptized in Jesus' name, walking up right before Him. Brother, He caused a transformation to take place that was even greater than the water into wine. He changed me, brother, from that simple old ungodly, worthless, no-count sinner into a Holy Ghost saint of God to preach this gospel and tell you there is nothing like a born-again experience with the Lord. There was a woman that was backslid in Urania, Louisiana, where I pastored. Now listen to me. She'd been in and out of church several times. Somebody come by that night and said, "Come on, you're going to church." They insisted. She'd made a statement one time. She said, "If I'm not going to live for God, if I can ever get back and I ever get filled with the Holy Ghost, and God sees that I'm not going to live it, I hope He'll kill me right then." She came to the altar that night. She come down. Power of God fell on her. She lifted her hands. She was just talking in tongues. Power of God all over her. And she fell out on the floor. And everybody thought she was under the power. But she was dead. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And she fell dead right after she got it. God did exactly what she said. "Lord, if you see I'm not going to live it, give it to me and kill me then." Can you believe that 2 weeks later, a young preacher out of my church preached in another town. And a woman that was away from God, did not know the Lord, was there that night under conviction and died in the church before she could get to the altar. One died ready, the other one died lost, 2 weeks apart in church. Folks, you don't know when that day is going to come on you. You say, "Well, you know, I'm young. And there's no sense. I'm not worried about that." Well, let me tell you another one. 3 weeks ago, a 13-year-old boy run across the cow pasture and had a heart attack. 13 years old. They buried him. He died. Brother, age has got nothing to do with whether you live or die. It's got nothing to do with it. If you go to the graveyard, you'll find out there's a tomb for every age you name. You go to the funeral homes and look at the coffins. They have all sizes. Babies on up. Why? Because it's time that you get away from the pool of Bethesda. It's time that you let Jesus walk into your life. It's time that you quit fooling and playing games. Because Jesus is coming soon. Begin to pray, saints, will you? Come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray. Come on, begin to pray right now. Come on, hallelujah. Begin to seek the Lord. Begin to pray. God is our refuge. Hallelujah. Come on, saints. Come on. I see some folks in this congregation tonight that need God. I see some young people that need the victory in their souls. I've watched you, and you need victory. You need salvation. You need the Holy Ghost bubbling in your soul. You need that shouting victory that's going to keep you while you're in school or while you're out on the everyday life. You need God moving in your soul. You may say, well, Brother Berryhill, I got the Holy Ghost. But oh, is it working in you? Are you obeying it? Are you living close to God? Dad, Mama, it's time you seek God. Pray, saints. I don't want anybody looking around. I want every saint of God praying. This is serious tonight. I'm preaching a transforming God. I'm preaching a God that will transform you tonight. He'll change you tonight. You'll walk away from this building tonight a new individual. Please pray. Come on. I don't hear enough praying. Come on. Please. Saints, I'm begging you now. Come on. Help me right now. Help me right now. Come on. We need God's conviction strong in this congregation. We need His conviction strong tonight. Let me point you to the way of Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, don't you think it's time, after breathing the air that Christ has given to you, living a life that He's allowed you to have, get up out of that seat right now. Pray, saints. Don't look around, please. I'd like for every boy and girl and every man and woman in this building that needs God tonight would step up out of that seat and realize that Christ is walking in the midst of this congregation tonight. You don't have to wait for troubled waters. He's here. He's looking at you and say, come on. Be thou made whole. He wants to set you free now. Hallelujah. Who's going to be the first tonight to get up out of that seat? In fact, let's all stand, if you will, please. Hallelujah. If there is somebody next to you that needs God, tell them you'll come with them so they don't have to walk alone. Come on. Hallelujah. While they're playing music tonight. Pray, saints. If you're here tonight and need God, I'm waiting on you. Come on. Step out right now. Get in this altar and seek the Lord. Get in here and let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. Repent of your sins. Turn from your ways of sin. God will give you strength. You may say, I've tried it over and over, but brother, I'm serving a God that took him across that sea, and He stopped the lion's mouth, and He'll do the same for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody lift your hands and pray right now. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. While they're praying, how about it, young boys and girls? How about it, you that need God? Come on, move right on out of the aisle right now. Come on, come to Jesus. Come on, do it now. You need the Holy Ghost? Come on tonight. Come on. Let's do it now. Come on, you young men here. Man, tonight there'll be many a person go out in this world without any hope. But you've got hope tonight. God's standing in the midst of you. You can have hope in this service right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, folks, come on. There's a transforming God that's standing in our midst tonight. He's wanting to save your soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I wandered far away.
Come on, boys, come on, girls. My Lord, don't stand there. We're facing eternity.
The past of sin, too long I trod, and now.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm coming.
Hallelujah. There was a gentleman about 65 years of age. He told one of my neighboring pastors, he said, Pastor said, I want to get baptized in Jesus' name. He said, come back and see me in about 2 weeks. I'm going to start living for God. On a Saturday of that week, His wife had to go downtown. He said, "Honey, I think I'll just lay down on the bed." It was about five, six in the evening. She come back. When she went in the bedroom, the old gentleman was dead. He never did get baptized in Jesus' name. 1 week away was all it was. Friend, you can play games with your soul if you like. But if you'll pick your newspaper up tomorrow, you'll read where this one and that one passed on. Little 16-year-old girl that loaded the car up with dynamite over there wanting to kill some soldiers. Went out of this world. Something got a hold of her. There's spirits that gets hold of people. There's things that causes you to begin to live ungodly lives like you never dreamed was possible. Things can happen to mom and dad that you never dreamed was possible to take place. When people neglect God, when they forget God, they suffer. My God. Folks, we need to join forces tonight, really. My, there's a lot of young people standing here that needs the Holy Ghost. I don't know, there may be some moms and dads standing out there. And I worry about that. I worry about that. Because time is running out for all of us. Will you one more time join forces with me and lift your hands and pray? And while they're praying, will you not step out now and come to this altar and ask God to save your soul? Oh, God!
God. Oh, God. I'll tell you what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to come down here one at a time. On the saints now.
Hallelujah.
And you're going to stand in behalf of someone you're interested in. This may be a little embarrassing to you or to them, but it's time that we do everything we can. If you've got a soul on your mind, either here or someone within reach of here, I'd like for one of you at a time to come and tell me who you're standing in behalf of. Now, John, who are you standing in behalf of? His brother-in-law, Johnny McCall. So we're going to join him in praying for Johnny McCall that God will get a hold of his heart and bring him to God. Brother Mark?
I'm working with him.
All right. Brother Johnny? Brother Rose? Oh, God. All right. All right. All right. Where did I get to? All right. All right. All right. All right. Who did I miss? All right. All right. Chris, Brother Aldridge. All right. Who did I miss? The children, Sister. All right. Sister Cass here. All right. All right. All right. Oh, you said that good. I'm not giving up yet. I told her before church, I said, "You're making hard on my faith." But that sounded good. Everybody say, "Praise the Lord." Did I get you, Brother Jackson? All right. Who did I miss? All right. Did I miss anyone? Amen. All right, sisters. All right. Will everybody in the house join us? Sister Jason, do you have your hand up? Richard, all right. See, more requests, and we can remember. All right. Amen. All right. Now let's pray. We're running a race. Pardon me, Sister Billy, but we're running a race with death with Connie if God don't undertake. You know that. And I don't want her to go. But if she does go, I'd rather she'd go full of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Let's all pray, will you? Lord,